you the praise. We honor you tonight. We appreciate you. Thank you because you are God. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the privilege of relationship. Breathe upon this service tonight. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. We worship you and we honor you. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone here tonight in Jesus' precious name. Like I said, tonight will be more like a classroom setting. We shall be looking at kings dash or kingship dash leadership and people influence. Leadership and people influence. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 13, the Bible said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Our objective tonight will be first to understand the challenge of leadership. Number two, we shall understand the necessity of leadership. The challenge of leadership, the necessity of leadership. Number three, we shall understand what leadership is not. Four, we shall understand what leadership is. Five, we shall see pillars of leadership. We might not finish all of that tonight, but that is how we are going to go. We shall understand the challenge of leadership, the necessity of leadership, what leadership is not, what leadership is, and pillars of leadership. We shall understand all of that. Now, very, very quickly, I was going to Uganda for a program, and I wrote throughout the flight from here to Uganda. I didn't blink. I just wrote throughout from the beginning to the end of the flight. Unknown to me, I was actually writing ahead for the convention. And that is where we are. Now, there are two dimensions of kingship, which is what we are dealing with. Two dimensions. The first dimension is a dimension of rulership and the exercise of dominion, where the king is ruling, where the king is exercising dominion for the maintenance of his territory. There is a second stream of leadership dimension, which is the dimension of leadership and influence on people. The dimension of leadership and influence on people. Many kings are rulers, but not all kings are leaders. The first dimension is like the dimension of the toughness of kingship, which is the rulership dimension. The second dimension is like the dimension of the goodness of leadership, the goodness of the kingship. And so it is critical that we have leadership. Having said that, there is a challenge of leadership on the earth today, and that is the first two messages dealt in the realm of the rulership and the exercise of dominion aspect. The next one or two messages will be dealing extensively on the dimension of leadership. Now, there is a leadership crisis in the world today. There is a global crisis of leadership. And I am going to give about 6 to 7 instances where we see the effect of this leadership crisis. People in position are plenty. People in several offices are plenty, but leaders are few. And now, instance number one is the instance of children growing up without proper parenting or quality leadership. Children growing up without proper parenting or quality leadership. The statistic shows that 75% of inmates in prisons came out of a single parent home or a broken home. 75%. Children growing up without proper parenting or quality leadership. 75%. Think about that. 75%. The second instance are girl children who are not thinking about marriage because of the lack of a proper father or husband picture. Girl children are growing up today, a couple of them, who are not thinking of marriage because, in fact, they are afraid of stepping into marriage because the husband to their mother and the father figure that they had growing up was a disaster. And I am talking about what I have experienced and seen. I've talked to young children, girl children, and they say, I'm not married. I'm not thinking of getting married. I don't have to get married. Marriage is not necessary. I can succeed without being married. Because they couldn't see the father or the husband produce leadership that should encourage them to think that marriage is worth it. Third instance are young men who have not received mentoring, discipleship, or fathering from their fathers. Young men who have not been discipled, have not been mentored, have not been fathered by their father. They haven't seen the father or the leader in their father. So there is something I'm calling a fatherhood failure cycle. The fatherhood failure cycle. So this young man was not fathered well by his father. So he transmits the same to the next generation. The kind of lack of fathering he didn't have, and the badness of treatment he received, he pours it on his children. And then the children move to the next generation with that kind of example. Am I communicating at all? Some of these children who have experienced this lack of fathering, that nobody, I mean, the father is there, but it was better the father wasn't there. I know of people who consider themselves orphans, even though their father is alive. I know of people who conclude that they are not their orphans, but the father is alive. So if the father died, it doesn't make any difference. In their heart, there is nothing died. Some of these children, especially in the places where cultism is very rife, they find a father figure in a cult figure. a capoon, a head of cultism. They rallies them around, and it becomes their father, the head of a gang. And then disasters happen, and this failure continues to be perpetrated. What I'm saying to them, that's why I said I'm about to say some serious things tonight, and I want us to take it very, very seriously. So we have this fathering failure cycle continuing. The fourth instance here is wealthy and successful people who are unable. Alright, say it like this. Wealthy, successful people who gave their children their wealth without their wisdom. They gave the children the wealth, but the children couldn't get the wisdom. The outcome is that they produce rich fools. They ended up producing rich fools without a solid future. I saw the statistics that she said. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Most of the big men, now if you take this nation for example, most of the very big men whose names we hear in society, very few of them will you hear the name of their children that they are meaningful. Very few. Am I communicating at all? In all fields. I knew a rich man where we grew up. As their father died and left a lot of wealth, they squandered everything in a hurry. Children almost began to beg. It's a leadership crisis. It's a challenge of leadership. 70% of corporations don't last beyond the first generation. 70 fool. Whether it is a financial institution or a business endeavor or an organization. 70. The meaning of that is the person who founded it, the vision died with him. This includes church ministries. Where you have, there used to be a great move of God here, but it never lasted. It didn't outlast the founder. It's a leadership challenge and a leadership crisis. God put you in position. He put you somewhere and we are unable to perpetuate it to the next generation. We have well-known corporations on the earth today that disappeared. Gucci brand lasted for about 3 generations. And because of crisis in the family and leadership issues, it almost crashed until outsiders came and took it up and upheld it. That was what saved it. Gucci. There is a bank called Medici that existed. But after a short while, it was a family set up by a family. After a short while, it disappeared completely. Why? Because of the same leadership issues. This is number 5. The sixth instance of leadership situation is nations, organizations, and institutions groaning under the weight of bad leadership. You see nations, you see institutions, you see organizations that groan under the weight of bad leadership. I mean, you don't need to look far to understand what I'm talking about. They groan. In the book of Proverbs chapter 29 in verse 2. Proverbs 29 and in verse 2. The Bible said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. The wicked refers in most cases to bad leaders, bad people. The people groan under the weight of bad leadership. That is the gross mismanagement of people, the gross mismanagement of resources, the gross mismanagement of human resources, financial resources, intellectual resources. The man is sitting on top of the nation, sitting on top of the organization, sitting on top of the institution, and everything is running down under him. Everything is going down because he lacks leadership capacity. It is disastrous leadership
syndrome that I call it, chronic disastrous leadership syndrome, CDLS. We have it a lot in Africa. You know, if you go to a place like Singapore, you go to places like some of these places around the earth, and you come to some places in Africa here and other parts of the world, and you look at the stark difference, you will be wondering. Even in the North American continent, you go to countries in the same North America, you'll be wondering, is it not the same continent? Why is this one so different and this one is so different? John Maxwell said everything rises or falls on leadership. Anytime something is rising, it's on the leader. Anything it is crashing, everything rises or falls on leadership. That is our instance number 6, right? Number 7. Or was that number 5? Alright, that was number 5. Alright, number 6 is it's okay, number 6 now is the crisis of young people looking up to negative models in society. Crisis of young people looking up to negative models in society is a leadership crisis. Right? You see a lot of young people receiving mentoring from music stars, movie stars, sports stars. Some of them may be perverse in their lifestyle, like many, on drugs. Perverse lifestyle, like gay, like lesbianism. With an ungodly mindset. You see, big musician had to take weed, smoke it very well to the sight of the fans before stepping to the stage to perform. And the young boys and young girls are running wild because they see the fame and see the stardom and see the success and think that whatever that person is doing is correct. If that is what he did to arrive there, then they have to do it. But it's a leadership crisis. That is why true leaders must emerge. Leaders who can combine success with character. People that have the money, they have the influence, they have the fame also in the music industry. In sports and in the entertainment industry, in banking and finance, and these people are big and they are role models. They are positive role models. That is why God is looking up to many of us seated here tonight. And he's saying, I want to place you. I want to position you so that this leadership crisis can be arrested. Can somebody say a louder amen? Can somebody say a louder amen? So it is very, very critical that in our journey of kingship, we trust the Lord to develop leadership to a point where a new generation of young people can have what to look up to that is positive. The people have the money, but you too have the money. But you have a character they don't have. You have Jesus they don't have. They have the fame, you have the fame too. But you have far more things. In every way you are even higher than them. So the younger generation can look, there is a bankruptcy, a shortage of positive role models. And we trust the Lord. Do you know that Michael Jackson still has followership in millions that listen to his music every month in millions? Meanwhile, these are leaders that they are looking up to. Died of drug overdose. Elvis Presley, drug overdose. Marilyn Monroe, drug overdose. Elizabeth Taylor, drug overdose. Whitney Houston, the doctor, what happened to her? Drug overdose and drown. These are role models to the people. The people of the world are still listening to some of them. I checked the other day and I saw it was 50 something million people are listening to Michael Jackson every month on one platform alone. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And that is why I believe that there is a challenge on us and a challenge on the church to rise and rise with positive influence. We are duty bound to succeed. To succeed in the right way. To succeed with character. We are duty bound to succeed. We are duty bound, pastors, to position people, to raise a generation of people that are up there in society, and they are up in politics, in music, in everywhere. They are up there successfully and up there in character, where a generation of people can look up to them and say, I want to be like this person. Beloved, this is the leadership crisis we have. Now let's move to the next level. What is the necessity? Why is leadership necessary? The necessity of leadership. Leadership development. Not just being a ruler, but being a leader. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1, we see God, the creator of the universe, how he stepped on the scene. The Bible said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Keep going. And God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. Move to the next verse. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And then, now, when you look at creation, all you are seeing is a leader appeared on the scene and saw how things were and decided to deploy leadership to ensure that things are the way they should be. Why is leadership necessary? Number one, leadership is necessary for the provision of the right and profitable direction to a given set of persons or people. Again, leadership is necessary for the provision of the right and profitable direction to a given set of persons or people. The real leader comes with direction. The right direction. Profitable direction. If it is the leader of a church, if it is the leader of a nation, if it is the leader of an institution, he comes and he says, this is the way to go. This way is profitable. This way is profitable. This is the right way to go. Listen, a bad leader will lead the people in the wrong direction. A bad leader will lead people on to losses. When a real leader is leading, the direction is right and there is profitability. When the wrong leader is leading or the wrong person is in leadership, there are losses and everything is wrong. Well, let's go. Number two, leadership is necessary for the maximization of the resources of the earth. The maximization, the optimization of the resources of the earth. Of the resources of the earth. When a real leader is leading, the resources available, human resources, natural resources, intellectual resources are maximized. The maximization of the resources of the earth. Leadership is necessary. Where leadership is, Nigerians, for example, are some of the most intellectual people, especially around the world. I mean, I stand to be corrected, but of any ethnic group in America, Nigerians have the highest level of PhDs of any ethnicity or group in America. They are in the realm of inventions. Our doctors are I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, a Nigerian neurosurgeon was the highest paid civil servant in the state of Connecticut, a Nigerian neurosurgeon in America. I got this from somebody who is a medical doctor in John Hopkins. Right, those kind of intellectual resources scattered around the world. Why? Because of the bankruptcy of leadership to harness the resources, intellectual, harness the natural, harness human resources, human capital to do what needs to be done. In other places around the world, there is such a harnessing, and then things are done. In the church, for example, a true pastor who is a leader will harness the resources, everything. That is why, and I want to appreciate God for the body of Christ and the church. You see, they don't understand the mystery behind the church. How somebody like God's servant Bishop Oyedepo is seated there, and it's not asking no government for no dime. And it's not looking for nothing from you. And you have almost 30,000 or 40,000 employees that are on salary every month. And you don't explain away the salary. And the salary must be paid. And it's paid on time. You are running plenty universities. Thousands of churches. Employ thousands of people. I think that instead of criticizing the church, they should come and ask the church, how are you doing these things? How are you making the things to work? Am I communicating at all? Look at this structure here. How long did it take? We broke ground 2014, started effective construction 2015, and then by 2018, we're already dedicated. And already development is going on everywhere. At the same time, churches are being built around the world. How is this getting done when the dollar rate was getting compromised? Do you understand what I'm saying? Where there is real leadership, there is the pool, the maximization of resources. What the kind of resources that will be wasted in the hand of bad leaders is maximized in the hand of good leaders. Look at this kind of thing going on up here. This is where you are seated in now, right here, right now. It's needed for the maximization. Finished product. It's needed for the maximization of the resources of the earth. Number three, leadership is necessary for the arrest of disorder, chaos, and crisis in the earth. The arrest of disorder, chaos, and crisis in the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. There was chaos everywhere. Until the leader God stepped in. Is the arrest of disorder, chaos, and crisis in the earth. The meaning of that is, leadership is needed for the production of order and stability in the earth. Order and stability. Anywhere you see disorder, it is a proof of lack of leadership. Anywhere you see chaos, anywhere you see crisis, anywhere you see instability, like we see in most of Africa today and in most places of the earth, it is the bankruptcy of leadership. When a person who is not a leader is in power, everything under him scatters. It's one thing to look for position, it's another thing to be a leader. You know, somebody decided, a young person decided to crookedly, I think she either cheated or something, to go into medical school. Medical school. Somebody wrote jam for you or something, or wrote entry exam or something, and then you entered medical school. Challenge is that they can write it, they can cheat for you to step into the course, but can they study it for you? By the time they ask you to trace the course of the honor name, or the trigeminal name, or the or the brachial plexus. By the time they just ask you one question in anatomy, that is when you know that you don't belong there. During oral, the examiner is asking you, you are not going to be reading or anybody will supply you anything. It's you that you said. Tell me the stigmata of chronic liver disease. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it is one thing to say you want the position. It's another thing to say, to be a leader. Don't forget this. If you are a pastor, the church was normal before you came. And when you came, there is disorder. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. You may be a pastor, you may have gone through Bible school, but you are not a leader. Everything scatters under a non-leader. Crisis, chaos, disorder, instability. Pastor at war with everybody, at war with workers, at war with elders and this, at war with everybody. They're sitting under in power there. Everything is in crisis. Security in crisis. Economy in crisis. Everything is in crisis. That is, there's something we call space occupying lesion. It gives rise to raised intracranial pressure in the brain. Do you understand what I'm saying, doctor? There are people that are sitting like cancers. And the whole system is under pressure. Do you hear what I said? There are leaders that sit in position like cancer. They occupy the space that they are not meant to occupy. So everything is under pressure, tension everywhere. That is not you. We are trusting God for the gift of leadership around the world. Say a louder amen. Leadership is necessary for the arrest of disorder, chaos, and crisis in the earth. Number four, leadership is needed for the release of progress and development. In true leadership, progress and development is released. Progress and development is released. When God stepped on the earth, everything moved forward. Whenever you see lack of progress and you see underdevelopment, it is proof of leadership bankruptcy. Are you still hearing what I'm saying? Progress and development happens. Things can be stagnant under a true leader. Things move. Things grow. They go forward where leadership is in place. Number five, leadership is necessary for the release of potentials, both of people's systems and institutions. Leadership is necessary for the release of potentials of people's systems and institutions. You don't know the potential of a thing until the true leader arrives. You don't know the potential of a thing until a true leader arrives. The potential, just really? You mean that out of this kind of city, a church can come out and not be looking for money and begging all the time? You don't know the potential of a nation until a true leader emerges. You don't know the potential of an institution. I am talking to you from practical experience. As a pastor that pastors many pastors, one pastor was here, location remained like crawling. Another one steps in there under 2 years. The structure is completed. Sharp. Church exploded. We thought that this land was a dry land. No, it wasn't a dry land. It was a person there that was a dry man. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It was a person there who was a dry man. My Dr. Mrs. Betty Onenche was pastor of Maraba Church many years ago. In those days, the Maraba Church people, I don't know, there was a mentality that the Maraba area had. It was more like a village, local kind of mentality. She stepped in there, changed their minds on the spot. Don't let your locality become your captivity. The mentality, it changed their mentality on the spot. A building that was abandoned because this engineer went and he jacked up the building. That was where she located the engineer that supervised this construction. That place. The structural engineer. That one came and said, so what can we do with this? So yeah, what did you tell him? That's right. This is what we can do. And he brought back the building. Wow. Roof teeth, took up pillars, roof teeth. Everything just came alive in the same location. We have seen that in several of our locations around. So it is very, very clear that human beings can have potential. Even the workforce under you, the potential that will come out of them is a function of your leadership. The workforce under you, the people that you are leading, the church membership, the pastoral force, and the organization, the institution you are leading, both the human resources, the financial resources, the potential there that will come out is a function of the exercise of leadership. And that is why we are going to be on this journey for a session or two. Because the potentials of things, of people, of institutions, they come out through leadership. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a loud amen. So leadership is necessary for the release of potentials of people, systems, and institutions. Number six. So leadership is the difference in what brings out potentials in people. Number six, leadership is necessary for the achievement of excellence and beauty. Excellence and beauty in human populations, in institutions, in nations. If anything is going to be beautiful, anything is going to be excellent, it takes good leadership. That earth that was without form and void, that was ugly, all of a sudden, the same earth became beautiful because the right leader, the leader of all leaders, showed up. The Queen of Sheba came and saw Solomon and see her experience of Solomon. He said, happy are these thy people. When she saw the building, the beauty in 1 Kings chapter 10, if you start from verse 6, you see the comment of the Queen of Sheba. And she said to the king, it was a true report. Alright, back up a bit to verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. That's the Queen of Sheba. And when the Queen of Sheba has seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, keep going, and the meat of his table, the sleeping of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, that is the excellence, the apparel, the cupbearers, the accent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said, to the king, it was a true report that I heard of in my own land of thy ass and of thy wisdom. He said, but howbeit I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, half was not told me. If anything is going to be beautiful, if anything is going to be excellent, it will emanate from the leader. Excellence does not happen by accident. It happens by a deliberate intention, and it comes out of the leader. When you see anything working, hold the leader. When you see it not working, ask the leader. excellence. And number seven, leadership is necessary for the reproduction and perpetuation of leadership. What is the meaning of that? Leadership is necessary for the reproduction and perpetuation of leadership. That is, leaders must be available for leaders to be raised. Leaders must be available for leaders to be raised. Leaders must be available for leaders to be raised in the earth. The absence of true leaders, listen to this, the absence of true leaders will increase the shortage of upcoming leaders. Shortage. Leaders raise leaders. Apostles raise apostles. Pastors raise pastors. Evangelists raise evangelists. Whatever you are, you raise them. Everything produces according to its kind. Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 28, God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. In other words, you must be a leader. If leaders must come of you, you must be a leader. You must be a leader. There are so many of our pastors here and many around the world who I can comfortably send somewhere to stand and minister in my place. By His mercy, there are churches in Dunamis Church there, by His mercy and more coming. If you go there, you think you are in the headquarters of a ministry, running, fully operational. Because from the scratch, instructions, impartations, modelings, you took steps, you want them to take the steps. There was not one day we raised an offering for this church that I didn't give. It's not possible to say give and I wasn't giving. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it's important for us to develop our leadership in order to be able to raise leadership. It's important. It's important for us to develop our leadership in order to be able to raise leadership. I believe that something is happening to somebody. If you are that one, say aloud, amen. If you are that one, say aloud, amen. Is somebody getting anything at all? Can I go forward? Or I can stop here for tonight, we'll continue tomorrow. Can I beg everyone that is here tonight, if it is possible to be here tomorrow morning, be there. Because I'm going to continue exactly from where I stopped here today. But tomorrow evening, I'll be here with Bishop Kayanja from Uganda. Both of us will be here. And I want you to bring your expectation. What you want God to do for you. Invite your friends and your loved ones and tell them something is happening. What I'm teaching and instructing you today is not a regular kind of teaching. It is something that will help you, help our nations and help our institutions. So invite your friends and invite your loved ones. Now let's go to the next level. What is not leadership? Because before you can define what leadership is, we must define what leadership is not. Number one, leadership is not a position or title. It's not a position. It's not a position. It's not a title. What location is this? This is one of the branches in Makori. Right? Oh my degree. Leadership is not, alright, okay. Leadership is not a position or title. There are many position carriers that are not leaders. There are governors that are not leaders, presidents of nations that are not leaders, heads of institutions that are not leaders. They are not many, plenty. Honorable members and senators that has zero leadership. So it's not a position, it's not a title. So if people can erroneously say, let us welcome our leader. No. Let us welcome our space occupier. No. Let us welcome our leader. There are people they are calling leaders that are not. It is as if you are calling a hyena a lion. No. It's both of them are in the bush, but they are not the same. It's like calling a kite an eagle. They are all in the sky, but they are not the same. So that is where we miss it. The moment somebody steps into position and say he's our leader, he's not a leader. He's actually a liability, most of them. A concern, a burden, instead of being a blessing. So before the next, okay, look at the two of them. See the eye of the hyena. How beautiful is it? See the audacity of this other one. Hallelujah. I believe in the name of Jesus, God will give us true leaders in church, true leaders in institutions, true leaders in organizations. If any one of them is here, say aloud, amen. Amen. Leadership is not a title. Number two, leadership is not a status symbol or success achievement. It's not a status symbol or success achievement. Practical example. It is possible for somebody to graduate with first class and not be a leader. The person succeeded. Is a first class graduate. Has brain. But zero leadership capacity. You can place an institution under him and it runs down on the spot. Somebody could have achieved so much in sports or in music and they say, oh, let him become our governor. Only very few of them do well in that kind of position. One of those who did well was Reagan. He was in Hollywood before and then went into power. Leadership is not a status symbol or success achievement. Number three, leadership is not a birth position. It's not the function of a birth position or hierarchy. And I'm going to explain to you. It's not a function of a birth position or hierarchy. Otherwise, Esau would have been a leader because he's the firstborn. But he was a disaster. Otherwise, Ishmael would have been the leader because he was firstborn. Otherwise, Reuben would have been a leader. But you know the disaster of Reuben. You know the disaster of Reuben? Incestuous Reuben. Reuben of irresponsible Reuben. Who messed up until Joseph was sold into slavery. And of the divisions of Reuben. Unstable as water. It's not a bad position. That is why in some families you might see a firstborn that is a burden. A prayer request. And you see a middleborn or lastborn like Joseph that is the leader. Somebody say amen. It's not hierarchy. If it was hierarchy, Saul, the king of Israel, who was number one in Israel, would have been the one to tackle Goliath. But somebody who was numberless, the armor bearer of the king, that was the one who demonstrated leadership. So leadership can be demonstrated from any realm. My counsel is, don't struggle for position. Struggle for function. Hello? Don't struggle for position. Struggle for the function. You know why? There are people with positions who lack the function. Very soon, they lose the position. There are people with the function who don't have the position. That was David. Very soon, the function and the position will marry. Don't struggle for what name they call you. Don't struggle for the title they call you. Don't struggle for applause of men. Just carry out the function you need to carry out. Leadership is not a bad position or hierarchy. Number four, leadership is not the realization of an ambition. It's not the realization of an ambition. What do I mean? Someone can realize the ambition of becoming a college president. He can realize the ambition of becoming a state governor. He can realize the ambition of becoming a president of a nation. But he's not a leader. How do you know? Once he gets to the position, he runs down everything. He runs down everything. He becomes a college president, everything goes down. He becomes a governor.
As I'm talking, some examples are coming into in my mind. And if I should say the examples, you will know many things. So let me just remain here.
Everything. There are people who don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They got the power, and then they became confused.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I say, Your Excellency, you're well done. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh Lord, may God help us.
You struggle. Okay, take.
No action. You don't have potency, you want to marry.
It's a disaster. Will you wed anybody who you are aware that the man is not potent and he say he has found a life partner? Say, go and be healed first. You, apart from frustrating the lady, is there anybody who is giving out their child for decoration? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, they want to see a child. Huh? These are serious matters. These are serious matters. Very serious matters. You want it. You have it. You don't know what to do. And there are plenty everywhere. Anybody who is serious minded, 30 days in any position of influence can make a mark that can last. You know what you are doing with your life? You know what you are doing with your life? 50 days. You have registered a mark that is irrecoverable. If you know what you are doing with your life, you know where you are going. I told you the story before. Where I met a young man, we grew up together. He's my age mate, the same year we were born. We played together, played ball together. I saw how he was not doing well in life. And I asked him, I said, look, can I assist you? What kind of business would you like to do? I will give you money to do it. He said, let him go and think about it. That was when I realized that people are not stranded by accident. We can't blame God for everything. He said, let him go. So all this while you are doing nothing with your life, you don't know what to do. Nothing is in your mind. And an empty mind is an empty future. This guy returned back to me after 6 months. of thinking. And after he told me what he wanted to do, I gave him the money. Go ahead and do it, and then give me a report. You will not believe what happened next. He returned back after another about 6 months, back with the money. He didn't do it. He still didn't know how to go about anything. The problem was not money. And the guy had integrity to return the money. If it was some thieves, he would have spent the money and said the money went into the business. He didn't drop the money. He didn't do anything with it. He returned it back. That was the integrity of the elder brother of the prodigal son, without mentality. The other one has mentality, no integrity. We will make it. Am I preaching to somebody here at all? Before you have an ambition, check your intention. Check your potentials. Before you say, this is what I want, find out what will you do when you have what you want. What will you want? What mark will you make? Leadership is not, you don't achieve an ambition and you now say, I am a leader. You don't achieve an ambition and you now say, I'm a leader. Leadership is not the realization of an ambition. Number five, leadership is not about the possession of money. I just gave an example now. It's not about the possession of money. There are wealthy people who are not leaders at all. They are not leaders and they have no leadership. In fact, they may have bought leadership with money, but they have no leadership capacity. See, it is possible to master the art of money making and lack the art of people influence. Master the art of money making, but you have zero capacity to influence and lead people positively. How many of you have seen rich men before that you don't want to have anything to do with? Maybe from the relations of people from a village. You don't want to near them. The way they treat and tolerate human beings, you don't want to have anything to do with them. And when I begin to define leadership, you will realize that a leader is someone you want to gladly hang around with. It's a personality that endears himself to you. There are many wealthy people, rich people, who can. The only reason why some people are in the organization is for salary. You need to see how some people talk to their subordinates and assistants. You thought they were talking to slaves. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not possession of money. Because you can have money and people will leave you alone. So you go ahead with your money. If you like, be a trillionaire, I don't want to have anything to do with your money. Because you don't have a heart for people. You don't have quality relationship with people. Even your wife and your family and your children, you have no relationship with them. You don't. It's not the possession of money. What number are we? Leadership. Number six. It's not about eloquence of speech or oratorical skills. It's not about eloquence of speech. There are great speakers who are not leaders. Eloquence of speech or oratorical skills. They can give very moving, convincing speeches like Absalom. They can speak until they steal the hearts of people. But in their deeds, you realize they are not leaders. In their actions, you realize they are not leaders. In their character, you realize they are not leaders. In their behavior towards others, you realize they are not leaders. Absalom committed abominable incest towards his father with the character of betrayal, an abominable lifestyle. He could speak, but he's not the leader. I'm sorry to say, but there are great preachers who are zero leaders. Great preachers, great teachers, they are zero leaders. Do you understand? As simple as it is, someone comes around you, oh, Pastor, how are you? How's your wife? And how are the children? That good? Everything okay? Happy to see you. It's a long time. There are people, when you come around, you will never hear such a question. Why? Why? I've come across people before. So how are you doing? Welcome. Amen. Amen. I am not isolated. You don't care about what is about my life. Then what do you want from me? You don't. Then what do you want from? Okay, so what? You need me, but you don't need to know anything about me. You know the way from here you go out for church planting. This is money for accommodation. This is venue and all of that. This is how to go. I have known of places where the day you are released, you are on your own. The location you go, you live, you are on your own. You die, you are on your own. Prove your ministry. I'm saying this because even though I know we have a conference, but I see a lot of volume of pastors here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Great teaching, great healing ministry, great preaching, but leadership zero. No, sir. No. If you are going to go far, gifts may make you go fast, but leadership makes you go far. You can be fast without going far, like a shooting star. Stop. Hallelujah. I'm going to draw the curtain at this final point. And this is, leadership is not about oratorical skill or eloquence of speech. Is this number 9, 8 now? Leadership is not about appearance, looks, or facade. It's not about appearance. There are many people who look like it, but they are not it. It's not about appearance. Can be neatly suited, clergy colored, but I may not be it. Absalom looked like it, but he was not. Eliab, the Lord's anointed, is standing. That was what Samuel thought, but he was not. Saul was shoulder higher than all Israelites, but he was not. You see someone, it looks like a pastor, and it's not. Let me tell you a funny story, and we end with this. Our coordinator of the marriage class, they coordinated a particular set, because they do premarital counseling for a few weeks in a class Everybody who is remarrying at a certain time, they pass through a class and they are taught about marriage. The young man in a particular class, it was a December class, he won the award in the class as the most well-behaved gentleman in that marriage class. He won the award. I think they wedded in that December. Before January ending, the wife returned. Before January, this well-behaved man in class, yes, sir, that won award is a wife beater. Stand up on your feet. The man looked it. He behaved it. They gave him a word. Under 1 month, wife wants to leave. 1 month. He didn't even give it 1 year.
Not even 1 quarter.
Their word did not work. That is why in all of the things we do with our lives, we must allow God to lead us. We must allow God to lead us. We must, looks can be deceptive. We must allow God to lead us. There are many, many, many things you see facially that don't communicate reality. Container can be deceptive. Content is what we trust God for. Container can be deceptive. The things I have said tonight, these are things that leadership is not. What then is leadership? We'll continue tomorrow morning. And tomorrow evening also we'll look at the pillars of leadership. Starting from tomorrow morning. But tomorrow morning and evening, you have, yes, master class. You have an honorable member of the house. You have your friend, whoever it is, bring them. Let us sit down. So that the next assignment God will give you, your generation will celebrate you till eternity. That this man, thank you, Lord, for giving us this blessing. When people give you gift, they may give you money. But when God gives you gift, he can give you a man. He gave that gift unto men when he ascended. Gave some apostles, gave some prophets, he gave some pastors, evangelists, pastors, teachers. His gifts can be human beings, human gifts. Make up your mind so that God can so raise you until you are a gift to your generation. And tonight, one prayer will pray, Lord, help me to be the leader you want me to be. And then second, Lord, help us with the gift of leaders in our generation. The gift of leaders in our nations. The gift of leaders in our generation. The gift of leaders in our nations. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and pray after me and say, Father, lift your voice tonight and say, Father, say it louder, say, Father, thank you. I need to hear you. Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
1 minute for this one. Say, Father.
Father.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For your word.
Your word.
To me tonight. I receive.
The grace.
To live out this word. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Open your mouth and pray. Speak to God. Roma la casa, 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 Roma la casa
Now somebody is saying leadership. I am not really interested in being a president or being a pastor of a fellowship or anything. No. Every human being is to possess leadership, because even if you are not leading anybody, you must lead your life to your God-ordained destiny. You must take yourself. You must ensure that you reach where God, you lead your life to where God wants you to reach in life. That makes you a leader. Then add it to your children as a mother. Add it to your family as a husband. Add it to your office as an employee. Even if one, two people are answerable to you. So every single one of us, we are in leadership in one phase or the other, in one thing or the other. We are now going to ask the Lord, lift your hands and voice and say, Father, help me to be the leader you want me to be. Help me to be the leader in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth, pray. Speak to God. Help me to be the leader you want me to be. Help me to be the leader you need me to be. Help me to be the leader. Finally, hold the hand of somebody near you. Communion stewards, we are convinced that this will go round, right? I think it should. Very fast. We should, right? All right, hold it, your hands together and lift it up. And let us pray for the gift of leadership for our nations, our ministries. You know, one Absalom can do a lot of damage in a ministry. Right? He's eloquent. He can sway the hearts of people. He's a disastrous leader. Right? And we trust God to uproot such on their own. Let them find their levels. Right? Lift up us and say, Father, we ask for the gift of leadership in our ministries, in our families, in our nations, in our institutions. Give us the gift of true leaders and leadership in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our ministries, in our endeavors, in our nations, in our institutions. Father, we ask that you will uproot wrong leaders, wrong people, positioned in various places, causing disaster. Approve them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Ya roqala
body. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
The Lord heard and answered us.
Amen.
John chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 56. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." That is the leader of all leaders talking. The leadership he carried as we take his body and his blood in this communion, we connect with it. We receive the same grace. And also I pray, everyone here tonight, everything in your life and in your system that is not of God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, I declare that it be flushed out. If Jesus can heal that daughter of God, pancreatic cancer, uterine cancer, blood cell cancer, he flushed everything out. Whatever is in your body, in your system, in your life that is not of God, by the same power in the blood of Jesus, I declare them flushed out in the name of Jesus. Live and fulfill your days. Thank you, Master, in Jesus' name. While we are doing this, and the communion people are taking their position, communion servants and stewards, anywhere you are, you need to surrender your life to Jesus first. You want your sins forgiven before we take that communion. Please step forward here. The choir will give us the songs while they come forward. Anywhere you are, you need your sins forgiven. You need Jesus in your life, and you need today to make a new day in your life. Carry your Bibles and your bags and step forward here and let us receive you. I'll give you the count of 10 as you run to the front. You want an addiction broken, a negative lifestyle broken. You want Jesus to be Lord in your life. I'll give you the count of 10. 1. 2. 3. Rush forward. 4. 5. 6. 7. Once you hold the communion, you take the communion, hold it first. 7. Jesus, let come what may. Everybody sing, I live for Jesus. Day after day, I live for Jesus. Let come what may. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus. I welcome you all, those of us surrendering our lives to Jesus. Pray this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Today, it is my decision to live for you. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen." Father, I pray for these people. I ask that the hold of the enemy be broken on their lives. Grace to live for God be released on you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.